reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila 1, text 62. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chanda Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhakta Gana Loya Koila Gundicha Marjana Aitota Aisha Koila Vanya Bhojana. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking all his devotees with him, performed the Gundicha Marjana and cleansing of the Gundicha temple, he went to the garden known as Aitota and accepted prasadam at a picnic within the garden. Omigana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Daksun Lutamyena Asmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sun Falls. Been up here for about a couple of weeks. It's really wonderful, really bhajan, deep spiritual practice, means to stay in one place. Otherwise, it's very difficult to regulate your life. One of the things I've been doing is reading a little bit in the morning when I get up. Recently, I've been reading the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the Namtattva section of the story of Ajamil. And it's really fascinating from studying those commentaries. The view I get is Krishna is a person. And when we chant, he gets pleasure. Depending on the intention of the chanter, it's just like a personal thing. Even you can think of your own name and someone calling your name, and the different ways in which they can call it. One is they can call it with respect and affection. They can call it with disdain or neglect, or they can do it neutrally. Mr. Such and Such home? I have a package for them. But more than that, the name is Krishna. So that relationship with the name is our relationship with Krishna, and Krishna responds. And as far as I can understand, in the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, um, Ajamil chants without any conception. So it's kind of a neutral chant. And that's Nam Das. And it purifies him of all sins, even the sins he will commit. It's a very, I mean, it's very, very strong. And it really makes you reflect on our own spiritual practice, especially how we deal with the name and our attentiveness to the name or our inattentiveness to the name. I was reflecting that because I was reading before I was chanting to really avoid inattentive chanting because it's neglect of Krishna. And he's hearing when something is said, when a name is spoken, you not only hear the syllables, you hear the heart of the person. So Ajamil, just from the fact that he names his son Narayan, right from the very beginning, and doesn't have any offense towards the name. It's such a powerful result. So I don't know where I remember the statement that I heard from. I'd love to find it again, where the thing like devotion is easy, avoiding offense is difficult. Because there's so much power in the name, according to the Bhagavatam and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that God gets pleasure when his name is chanted without offense. And when one does that, perfection is guaranteed. That's the story of Ajamil. Anyway, let's go to the story here. And it's the Anki Lila, and I'm not going to give too much of a background, but we know the devotees from Bengal have come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears now to be settling in Puri for the last portion of his life, which is to get or achieve this mood of high devotion, the mood that Srimati Radharani has. And the devotees are coming to see him. Rupa Goswami is late because his younger brother, the father of Srila Jiva Goswami, Anupam, had passed away. And he comes and he gets residence with Haridas Thakur near the Jagannath Mandir. Those of you who have been to Puri know that that's quite near. There's a little city built up, but previously all those little buildings weren't there. And it was kind of a very good view of the Jagannath Mandir. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to visit, and we begin to get some indication of Srila Rupa Goswami and his mission, because he's understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, which is to taste and distribute spontaneous love of Godhead, Rag Marg. He's understood that very deeply. In fact, on his way, he stops on his way to Puri. He stops at a place called Satyabhamapur. And he has a dream. Now, dreams are very, very special for a Vaishnava. Basically, what a dream is your samskaras, the impressions in your consciousness, what your attachments are, and they're floating around. And the more that you have attachments that are klesha or troubled, selfish attachments and fears and anxieties, then they come up in your dream. The mind is just unlimited kind of samskaras, and by karma and by choice, they're always kind of, so what dreaming is the state of your consciousness when the Buddhi is not active, when the judgmental or selective part of the mind, the Buddhi, is not active, then it comes up. One Vaishnava scholar in Vrindavan, a friend of mine, said, you want to know what you're going to be thinking at the time of death, then just reflect on what you're dreaming about, because that shows what your consciousness is. But there's another type of dream where the transcendence or the divine appears within the mind to give instruction or faith to the devotee. At least in our state or my state, when you cannot directly enter transcendence, it Shastra says to give faith, transcendence, which cannot reach you on the corporal field, enters more a little subtly in the mind. And I've had experiences like that where at times where faith was needed, faith came in very special ways in that realm. Rupa Goswami, of course, he doesn't need faith, but still some very special instruction comes in Satyabhamapur. And it's about the nature of Krishna in Vrindavan, how God is one, but the full manifestation of God is in Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan only. It's the full manifestation of God, because there's plenty of Aishwarya in Vrindavan. There's opulence. There's more than any place else. But the setting is such, and the lila is such, that the love is very forceful and intimate, not distanced by a sense of awe and reverence. And in that setting, Krishna reveals himself fully. And he gets this understanding, which is the essence of Rag Marg. It's the essence to what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Because he came to give spontaneous devotion. Devotion that is unchecked or not weakened by God appearing in his majesty. So once Krishna leaves Vrindavan, it's not fully Krishna. Or when God desires to enjoy any tinge of reverence, then the setting is different. Now he's a king, and there's a sense of obligation and fear. Anyway, this is the key of Krishna consciousness. This is the key. See, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato. This is the key of the Krishna consciousness movement, what's coming in our line. It's this very sense of intimacy with God as a friend, as a parent, as a lover, where there's a sense of possessiveness. It's called mamata, mine. Like your father is superior, but it's your father, and therefore you can sit on his lap. Therefore, there's no fear. The relationship is very spontaneous. So it's called mamata. It's a sense of possessiveness in relationship, exclusivity. And that type of relationship gives God more pleasure. So he has this deep realization. And that realization comes because of his attitude of service, an attitude of love and devotion, and a particular proclivity or desire inherently to worship God in a particular way. And he also has the abilities karmically, I don't know if you call it karmically or constitutionally in the terms, but he has these talents, these God-given talents of expressive and conceptual abilities to the nth degree. And he's very, very humble. He's very, very humble. So he has not only the ability to serve God in a big way, but to not lose his sense of realization when doing it. Or he has that really, he has the humility to actually have the depth of understanding of God and the relationship with God. It takes humility. That's the foundation of service. Service means the willingness to enter into someone else's world, to serve them. Material consciousness means we want people to enter into our world to serve us. It's the complete desire to enter into God's world, to enter into the God's world in the mood of service. And when you have that consciousness, you can understand the mood of service and you can communicate the mood of service. Remember in Vrindavan, going to classes. And my desire to hear the class was not just dependent on the person's scholarship. It was also dependent on his character and mood of service. Because then I wanted to hear what this person has to say who's actually practicing Krishna consciousness in a deep way. So anyway, Rupa Goswami, when he meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the devotees to bless him. He asks all the devotees to bless him, especially the senior devotees. And both in terms of one's own consciousness in being able to achieve something spiritually, having the sense that I need something from above greater than my own abilities to achieve what I want to achieve in spiritual life and in service, which is an essential consciousness to actually be an instrument for Krishna's service. But there's something tangible that happens when devotees bless one. Because Krishna is sensitive to the desires of the devotees. So if the devotees wish you well, then it invokes the reciprocation of Krishna. And it keeps us in a very healthy consciousness to seek blessings. Because the devotion has to be free from the concept of soul agency, that things happen just by my power alone. As soon as that consciousness enters, then we're covering the hum prakasya saridoga maya sama. We're covering ourselves from the vision of God. Once that consciousness enters, then, and therefore, we saw the story of Narada Muni, the first time a helpless young man, begging for the mercy of God, feeling he has no qualification, but expressing that feeling in an intense yearning and endeavor to see God, because I have no qualification, I have to try harder and harder and harder and harder. And they get sakshad darshan. Second time he tries again and again and again and again, but he doesn't get that darshan. Because his accomplishment the first time gave him that sense of doership, that by my effort alone, it's not the effort, it's the consciousness which the effort is representing that attracts God. So same effort, different consciousness will achieve different results. So Rupa Goswami is not only qualified to do the work, but he's qualified by his devotional qualities to have the consciousness to also do the work, because he's seeking blessings. He doesn't think by my will, my power alone, I will write great poetry. That's why all Vaishnav writing, all Vaishnav endeavors, all Vaishnav speaking must first be accompanied by sincere prayers, begging for blessings from the Supreme Lord, begging for blessings from the spiritual master, begging for blessings from the Vaishnavas. So now here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's just we're kind of following his life. He would come and talk with Haridas and Rupa every day. And they felt his kripa, Prabhu kripa. And that gave him great happiness, because someone's mercy is their love for you. When a superior gives you mercy and gives you affection, that's their love for you. And if you have love for them, and you have respect for them, there is nothing that makes you happier than their love. And that's expressed in kripa. So when you get some kripa, get some mercy, you feel so much ananda, you feel so much love. And you become more and more humble. Because mercy means undeserved. So when you really feel mercy and you really get mercy, you feel that sense of you that I do not deserve. And it creates more and more humility in the heart. And it appears that Lord Chaitanya has this mission. And therefore he is bestowing his mercy upon Rupa Goswami. Dasara kaya hari bale sharva bhakti jan deki hari dasa rupera hari shitaman. Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw that all the devotees were accepting prasadam and chanting the holy name of Hari. They both were greatly pleased. Harishita, they were jubilant. They were super happy. When they saw Sarva Bhakta Gan, Jan, all the devotees, Hari Bole, and Krishna eating and chanting, engage in devotional service, they were very pleased. And that's actually the nature of spiritual happiness. The nature of spiritual happiness is love. And love means the happiness for another's happiness. And these are loving people. And they're getting pleasure in the joy of others. That's the spiritual world. That's it's described that in the spiritual world that there are very younger selfless gopis and they just want to serve Srimati Radharani. And they have so much love for her. They have no desire to be with Krishna personally. They just want to serve her in various ways. Their whole consciousness is how Radha and Krishna can meet. To the extent that on a new moon, when it's very, very dark, and they know without the moonlight how difficult it will be for Radha to find Krishna, they will even train her for those days. They will train her for those days. How to move in the dark. There's even training where they have a little place where there's water and thorns. How to train. How to move with it. But they have no desire. But anything that Radharani feels, they feel equally, even physically. That's love. Happiness. It's described, Jiva Goswami in one purport describes that, what real spiritual happiness is. So that's demonstrated in the Vaishnava society with people who have a mood of service. Where their pleasure becomes the pleasure of others. And their unhappiness becomes the unhappiness of others. Raghunath Das Goswami is glorified by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami in his book called The Lap Kushmanjali. And he says, what does he glorify Sanatana Goswami? Para Dukha Rupi. He has absolutely no anxiety, but he suffers. for the suffering of others. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is supposed to be a spiritual manifestation of relationships. And you'll see that. Devotees are very happy. Even I think later on here, Rupa Goswami begins to praise, Lord Chaitanya begins to praise Rupa Goswami profusely. And Rupa Goswami is just so humble. He does not really want to hear praise. He does not want to demonstrate any of his abilities in the assembly of Vaishnavas to in any way invoke the consciousness that he is the center. When you do something good, or you exhibit a powerful quality, it's so easy to connect that with control and enjoyment. I am good at this. People like me. People want to serve me. I can use them to fulfill my desires. Someone can do kirtan in that mood. Everyone loves my kirtan. Everyone loves me. People now want to serve me. I can fulfill my desires, therefore, through them. And when you see the Chaitanya Charitamrita, devotees don't have that consciousness at all. They're never eager to demonstrate their abilities. They do it on order. They do it only if it's service. Even Prabhupada said that about writing transcendental literature. Not an ordinary thing. One has to have the order to do it. Recently it was Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance. Prabhupada had his name put on the calendar, and it was so obvious. I met him at the beginning of my devotional career in San Francisco when I was visiting there. Immediately impressed. You can't, you know, it's self-apparent when someone has a natural state of humility. And that's spiritual. That immediately stood out to my me. And therefore, he was always serving. And Prabhupada would say, where is Jayananda? He was never in the front. Because his life was not about him being in the center. His life was about his Guru Maharaj being in the center. There's no desire to gravitate towards there. So they're very happy. They're greatly pleased. Govinda Dwara Prabhu Shesha Prashara Pai Prema Mata Dui Jani Nachite Lagila. When they receive the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prasadam through Govinda, they respected it, and then they both began to dance in ecstasy. So this is Maha Prasad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is getting the Jagannath Prasadam, and he honors it, and then what is left? It's mercy, and it's more mercy. And they feel that. They feel that so strongly. And they have so much faith in Maha Prasad. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was in Puri, and even a disciple brought Mahaprasadam, he would circumambulate the disciple who was holding the prasadam. He would pay his obeisances to it. When people take Jagannath Prasad, the rule is they never sit on any mat. They never sit on any mat. Why? And you'll see. You'll never sit on any mat. You'll never sit on any table. Sit on the floor. Why? Out of respect. They don't want to have any sense of self-respect, a seat. And prasad, on the floor they sit. And then it's love. Respecting something is love. And when there's great respect, it's great love. And when there's great love, there's tremendous ecstasy for the Vaishnava. So how much respect they get Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasad and they chant and dance. Aradina Prabhu Rupe Nilayava Sila Sadhvigya Shiramani Prabhu Kahite Lagila. On the next day, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Rupa Goswami, the omniscient Lord spoke as follows. Sarvagya Shiramani, the jewel, the best, of one who knows everything. And he began to speak. Krishnere Bahir Nahi Kriya Vraja Hoite Vajachari Krishna Kobe Nayani Ahante. Do not try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan, for he does not go anywhere else at any time. So this is exactly what he heard from Sarva Satyabhama at Satyabhamapur. Don't take it, because he's writing a drama. And he says, don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan at any time. For he does not leave Vrindavan. Because outside of Vrindavan, it's not Krishna. It's a different, it's Vasudeva Krishna. It's not the Jandanadana Krishna. There's a difference. We also manifest a difference in different places. We may have places where we're intimate, reveal our heart. We may have places where we have a little more authority in relationships with people and have to be a little bit more reserved. But with Krishna, even though it's technically the same person, it's manifest as another. It may manifest even in a slightly different form. You don't. Vrindavanam prityaja svakachin navagachiti. Very famous verse, Krishnonyo yadu sambhuto yapurna so stitapura Vrindavanam prityaja sukachin navagachati. The Krishna known as Yadu Kumar is Vasudev Krishna. He is non-different. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadu Kumar Krishna manifests his pastimes in the city of Mathura and Dwarka. But Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any time leaves Vrindavan. And this is from the Laghu Bhagavat Kamrita by Rupa Goswami. And basically it's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him. It's Krishna Anya Yadu Sambhuta. It's another person. But the Purna, the full personality of Godhead, Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan. So in one sense, Krishna means God, in that sense, you can say Ram is also Krishna, Narayan is also Krishna. But here, in another sense, it's not the same. Because it's not Purna, it's not the full manifestation of God. And that full manifestation of God only manifests in Vrindavan. Krishna is home, he's feeling himself. All aspects of Kila Rasa Mritamurti of his personality are manifest. So this is the Antyalila. And we're being introduced to Rupa Goswami, is empowered to be able to express this. And now here is the exchange, where it's confirmed, which is also interesting, that there's internal, it says the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super self. So what's told inside by God also manifests outside. And what's manifest outside by the spiritual master is also manifest within the heart. It's the same manifestation, just in different places. Even when Dattatreya talks about the 24 gurus, where he sees God, he sees the instructions of his spiritual master, the same things that his spiritual master instructed him, he sees manifest in nature. His spiritual master instructed him about being patient, and he sees that in terms of the python, who just waits in a tree patiently until something comes. And then falls down and then swallows it and then rests again. Sees loyalty in terms of the dog. And in terms of Pingala, the prostitute, he sees the same instructions of how anxiety is caused by material expectation. So, the same instruction that came internally to him from Satyabhama about the ontological nature of Krishna, this conception of the divine as fully manifest in intimacy, and that there is a realm or dimension where that happens. And outside of that realm or dimension, it doesn't happen. And when it does happen, it's Krishna. When it doesn't happen, it's not exactly Krishna. So Krishna refers, yes, to God, but also refers specifically, Krishna, all attractive, to God when God is fully manifest in all God's glory. Which means the inner nature, personality, and heart, and loving relationships is fully met. And this specific realization is the realization of divinity that's carried in the line of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And specifically the realization that Rupa Goswami was empowered to understand. And specifically, the type of love of God that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to give, this very intimate, forceful love that requires a manifestation of God in a very intimate way. It's really nice that this is kind of, I see this literary technique by Krishnadas Kaviraj, where he just mentions particular things that are very significant in just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's daily life. He just meets Rupa Goswami and then he just tells him this. And then it goes on, and later on, that particular point will be developed. In this case, he's being told that Krishna is different, and you're going to write a drama. Krishna outside of Vrindavan is different. So when you write a drama, don't bring that personality outside, because he doesn't exist outside. And that personality means the intimate nature of the divine, the lover of the gopis, the son of Nanda and Yasoda, the friend of Subal and Sridhar, that intimate person. Don't bring him outside of Vrindavan, because he doesn't exist in that realm where people worship him and are in reverence. It will not be accurate. The intimate side of God does not exist outside of Vrindavan. So don't, in your literary work, bring that person outside, because he doesn't exist outside. As soon as he goes outside, he's a king. As soon as he goes outside, there's some formality relationships with him, even from his queens. Don't do that. Because this is the my mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually subtly hinting to him, my mission is to give spontaneous life. And that means Vrindavan. So don't bring Krishna outside of Vrindavan. You'll be fostering a misconception about Krishna that will hinder people from understanding him, and therefore understanding what is spontaneous love to God when he is fully manifest in all his relationships and intimacy. After saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to perform his noontime duties, leaving Rupa Goswami somewhat surprised. He went to perform his noontime. So nice. I love the life of regulation. Noontime, dude, it's so mode of goodness. No noontime duties. He goes to bathe in the river. He goes to worship the deity. He's not overwhelmed with this fruit of consciousness that doesn't let us do simple, graceful things. He's surprised, and he says, Satyabhama ordered me to write two dramas, Rupa Goswami. Now I understand that this order has been confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Formerly, I wrote the two dramas as one composition. Now I shall divide it and describe the incident in two separate works. I shall write two separate indications of good fortune, which is called Prastavana. Let me think deeply in two different introductions, which is called Prastavana, and two invocations of good fortune, which is called Nandi. Let me think deeply about the matter and then describe two separate incidences. Let me not confuse this, because this is the key point of what Gaudiya Vaishnavism means. understanding the speciality of Krishna in Vrindavan and the force of love in relationship to the full manifestation of God. The two works are Vidagdha Madhava and Lita Madhava. The Vidagdha Madhava describes pastimes in Vrindavan, the Lita Madhava describes pastimes in Dwarka and Mathura. Vata Yatraya Jagannatha Darsana Karila Vata Agre Prabhu Nitya Kirtana Dekila. During the Ratha Yatra ceremony, Rupa Goswami saw Lord Jagannath. He also saw Lord Chaitanya dancing and chanting in front of the Rath. So we'll cover this story, but this is one of my favorite stories. Lord Chaitanya is dancing in Ratha Yatra, and he understands that these deities of Jagannath are so special. Because a deity represents a manifestation of God. And sometimes deities represent not only a manifestation of God, but a pastime of God. Like Kali, a Krishna deity, or Radha-Giridhari, listening Govardhan Hill. But these deities of Jagannath are so special. They not only represent the manifestation of God, they not only represent a pastime of God, but the deity performs the pastime. And the pastime is so special, it's what? It's the pastime of Kurukshetra, where Radharani sees Krishna after 96 years, but is not satisfied. Because it's not Krishna. God is not manifest as her lover. Because he's in a position of authority as the king. He has kingly clothes. He has the subjects. And therefore, in that milieu, the intimate side is not manifest. And that's therefore not Krishna. So that pastime of Ratha Yatra is demonstrating this point that the Yadu Kumar is not the Brajendranandana Krishna. It's different. If they were the same, then Radharani would be in ecstasy in Kurukshetra, but she was in deep separation. And to reciprocate with her deep love in that particular way, Krishna with his brother and sister goes back to Vrindavan. And that's the mood of the Ratha Yatra. It's amazing that Prabhupada brought this festival around the world. Because it's the most intimate conception of divinity. Most people don't know, even the devotees, probably some of them pulling the cards. What is that mood of Ratha Yatra? Pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. So, even at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people were not fully conversant with the depth and meaning of that pastime, and we'll see. This is what we'll discuss. It's a great point. But Chaitanya is trying to nourish his sentiments. And in the bhakti path, one of the main ways in which that is done is by the poetry and drama, which perfectly express those sentiments, and not only can communicate those sentiments to you, but make you feel it. So there was no poetry and song about this pastime because the meaning was confidential. And Lord Chaitanya didn't have a song or poem to nourish his sentiments. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sentiments were so deep that is absolutely required some song. Sometimes when emotions are overwhelming, there has to be some expression of it. Practically, otherwise, the emotions will consume you internally. One psychological point about emotions is it's not healthy if they're not expressed. And people who are out of touch with their emotions have powerful emotions. A lot of times, those people become artists because they have to express them just to stay in a healthy state of mind. And the spiritual realm is like that. The emotions must be expressed. We need song. We need dance. We need poetry. So Lord Chaitanya will, the only thing he can think of is a novel that he read in his youth, which was a romance. In classical Sanskrit, or in this particular verse, that although not written about the sentiments of Radharani, take Krishna back to Vrindavan at Kurukshetra, expressed similar sentiments. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya began to say it spontaneously to nourish his feelings, which confused people. Rupa Goswami, being inspired at Satyabhamapur by Satyabhama, and being directly instructed by Lord Chaitanya to understand this difference, could put what Lord Chaitanya was doing into context. Understood, he's in this mood of this lila or pastime, and he's trying to nourish it, but he doesn't have an appropriate song that describes that at pastime. And then that's when Rupa Goswami pens a verse to directly describe that pastime as the feelings of Radharani at Kurukshetra. And this is also, it's Antilila, so we're supposed to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, to nourish our sentiments, we need the appropriate prayers. It's a very important part of our life. Here, when I'm here and I have more time and I wake up very, very early, I chant the Mangalacharanam, about 25, 30 verses, glorifying some gurus, the disciplic succession, the Panchatattva, Radharani, Vrindavan, the Brijbasis, Purnamasi, the Jamuna, so many things. And then when I do my puja, I'm using this one padati, a step-by-step thing. And I just, you know, there's the Buddha, Buddha Shuddhi, that at the beginning of puja, you're supposed to, the beginning of your seva in that type of worship, you're supposed to reflect a little bit that you're not the body and that you're actually a servant of Krishna. And there's a verse that's recommended, Mahamvarni Chinatatir Vaishno Nasudro. I'm not anything in Varnashram. I'm not this. I'm not Brahmachari. I'm not Sannyas. I'm not Brahmin. I'm not Kshatriya. I'm Gopi, Bharti, Parakamadasitas. The verses have such sentiment. It's an essential part to chant some verses here. And then, you know, then worshiping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A verse. Anjanu Mambita Bujo Kanika Vitaro Sankirtanaika Pitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishvambaro Vijava Alert Namo Mahabhadandaya Krishna. Spiritual Master Nama Shreshta Manumati Sachi Putam Atta. Verses. Part of it. And Rupa Goswami showing you require that. So on the practical level for us, we should just understand that to cultivate appropriate sentiments in devotional service according to our qualification or adhikari is very, very helpful to chant Sanskrit verses and understand their meaning that correspond to the particular sentiments we have, whether it's for the Guru, Gaurangra, Radha Krishna, Radharani, Vajami Radham, Aravinda Netram, Smarami Radham, Madrasitasyam, Vajami Radham, Karana Vajadram, Vatoma Mayasti, Tatir Nirafi, Vajami Radham, Aravinda Netram, Vajami, I worship Radha. Aravinda Netram, she has lotus eyes. Smarami Radham, and I remember, Mandurasmita, the smile. It's very, very practical, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we'll get into that story more. I will be traveling today, and then I'll be in New York City. I'll go to New Jersey today for 2 days. Then on Tuesday, I'll be in New York City for about 5 or 6 days, just meeting all these people that I met in Vrindavan are coming to see me. So many people you meet in Vrindavan. And then on this Thursday, I give class with Shamdas at Yoga Maya. This is the first time I'm doing a program with him. We've become quite good friends, so that's exciting. Okay. Anybody like to ask any questions?
Maharaj?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Yeah. I've been kind of quick on the jump for a few weeks, so I'm happy to wait. I trust that you'll let me know if you want me to sit down.
No, we gave some time. I said, any questions? You waited. Someone could have asked.
Well, I have a question. If I may, right before that, a quick comment, Marsh. Again, thanks so much for your class. I'm not trying to flatter or anything. They've been quite inspiring, and I really appreciate the time you're putting into them. Before my question, I just wanted to mention, at the end, you reminded me, one of my favorite Chinese philosophers is a Confucian named Xunzi. And he spent a lot of time thinking about ritual. And one of my favorite passages, he says that we need to express our emotions, but to express our emotions properly doesn't just mean to let them blather out whenever we want. We have to express them in a way that cultivates them and hones them to their purest essence. And he said that's what ritual is ultimately meant to do, to allow us to express our refined emotions towards things that are really important, but not just kind of like as a cathartic, like spitting it out, but to rather allow it out while honing it to its really best nature. So I appreciated the way you were explaining that, and I don't know, I just felt like I'd offer that at your feet.
I've also had that realization when I'm staying here and I'm actually able to sit down, you know, and do my worship in a little bit more elaborate way, you know, that the verses become so relishable, just even the verse, you wake up the Guru and pray that he glances his mercy on you. And then even after you finish the puja, you know, mantra hina, priya hina, you know, I don't know mantra, I don't know activities, I don't know this, I don't know that, you know, but somehow or other, please be pleased with this effort. You know, it's the appropriate sentiment, you know. And, yeah, I agree. Okay, nice point. Yeah, any other questions?
My question is, you know, at the end, or actually through much of the class, you were discussing that the dream at Satyabhamapura and the way in which the most intimate features of the Lord are really, they stay within Vrindavan. And what I wanted to ask you, Marj, is, you know, it seems like it's a really important point in our Sampradaya to argue for the supremacy of Krishna in Vrindavan in terms of rasa or like divine experience of the Lord. And which I don't always understand what we're trying to get at with these sorts of arguments. I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't, but I'm trying to say I really don't understand, like, is our point to just maybe establish theologically for the world that Krishna, that the intimacy of God is more important than the power of God, and that can be found in Vrindavan? And the reason I'm asking is, I mean, I feel like there's people who, like, their relationship with God is really the best thing for them to focus on. And even if they don't have this, like, exalted understanding of Krishna in Vrindavan, are we doing them a service to try to convert them to Krishna in Vrindavan? Or is it better if they have their own, like you're saying mamata, right, their own notion of God that they love? Well, and so I'm not sure, what are we trying to get at with these sorts of arguments?
Well, this is what I think. I think, first of all, you have to really appreciate how carefully Prabhupada dealt with these things. You know?
Yeah.
Kamal Krishnamurti's thesis is coming out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, about the theological Prabhupada. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I saw it initially, you know? And, you know, Prabhupada was very careful to present the divinity, the majesty, in an appropriate way. And it's very beautiful how it's done. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, this is the Anti Leela. It's a little bit more confidential. But I think the first thing you got to do is it's establishing what is our theology. I don't necessarily think that it's meant so much to, you know, and I don't think Prabhupada used that way, you know, to kind of go outside and kind of necessarily pound that point around the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that specific point around the world in one sense, but certainly it's required in our own theological understanding. And, you know, even the Bhagavad Gita, right, it mentions that Krishna is superior to Brahma and Lord Shiva, etc., you know, to present that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you have to make those distinctions. And a classic example is when Lord Chaitanya went to South India. It's a great and he's discussing, he has kind of like a friendly argument with Venkata Bhatt, the father of Gopal Bhatta, right, about the supremacy of Krishna, right? And then after having that and kind of sort of defeating him, you know, he basically, the answer is it really doesn't matter because they're the same, you know? So I think that's actually the mood, you know? There has to be a theological distinction. And if you're representing a particular tradition, you have to communicate it, you know, but these types of distinctions, you know, it's not meant to discourage other people. It's not even meant to discourage other people in Krishna consciousness, you know, who don't have an intimate sense. And that sense, that real sense of Rag, is always presented that it's a gift. Generally, it comes from previous samskaras. You know, that sense of intimacy and mood, you know, and we do even in our deity worship. It's properly said we worship in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan in one sense, because we do have rituals and keep that sense of supremacy. So I don't see really what the problem with it is, only that there has to be a clear presentation of one's theology, and that's part of it.
Okay. That makes sense, Marsh. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Anything else?
If you're asking me, Marsh, I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Okay, good. I may give you a call in about 15, 20 minutes if you're free. If you're not, then
looking
we'll later.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello? Ask something?
You have time for a question, you said, Maharaj? Hare Krishna.
Gail, I have to give equal rights.
Oh, no, you don't. But okay, I'll take it. Thank you. I have so many burning things, but I'll just choose this one. You were saying that that Radharani's friends, they only care about her happiness. They're not interested in being with Krishna by themselves. But then I can't explain, you know, their feelings during the Rasa dance, and they felt like Krishna was dancing with only them, and that pride.
Those were different gopis. Those were different gopis. There's five types of gopis, right?
Yeah.
Some are, you know, more favorable to Krishna. Some are more favorable. Some are equal to Radha and Krishna. Some are more favorable to. Some are more favorable to Radharani. So actually what I was talking about is Manjari Bhav. There are young girls, right? And they're not the ones dancing with Krishna in the Rasa dance.
Yeah, right.
They're
right.
Not yet have achieved puberty, right? And they're very innocent. And therefore, although, you know, they don't have that desire to be with Krishna like that, but they love Radharani and want to serve her.
Mm-hmm.
And when Krishna pulls them, they resist.
You said when Krishna what?
A different type of gopi. When Krishna may try to invite them to his kunj, they resist.
Mm-hmm.
They resist. That's not their mood. And in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes that there's two types of conjugal mood towards Krishna, which is called kamanuga. Two types of kam, that conjugal love. One is called sambhog. And one is called Tatkatbhava Ichimayi. Sambhog means to want to be directly in contact with Krishna. And Tatkatbhava Ichimayi means to only want to enjoy Radharani being with Krishna. And in our line, it's really not sambhog. It's really not, our Raganuga is not sambhog. That's not our mood to be with Krishna directly. Our favorite, and traditionally, and very esoteric, or even very high realizations, the mood is to serve Radharani. And in the Vallabh Pushpanjali, the first verse, it says, Tvam Rupa Manjari Sakhi Pati Bhav, Tvam Rupa Manjari Sakhi Patita Vibhav. It says to someone says to Rupa Manjari, although your husband is not home, right, how do you have these red marks on your face? Right? And it's some verse like that. It's the first verse in Vallabh Pushpanjali by Raghunath Das Goswami. And the first verse is Rupa Manjari. They're questioning her how she has these marks, like she was having some love with Krishna. And the answer is because she loves Radharani so much that whatever Radharani feels, she feels. Exactly, even physically. So that's their mood.
Are there gopis who are beyond the puberty stage who also are not interested in being with Krishna?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Krishna. We're waiting for you to join us out on the East Coast again, but that may take time. Who knows? Hare Krishna.
I'll take those prayers. I have the same intention.
Okay, I know that. I know that. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wow. We just went from the northwest to the southeast. Chaitanya Priya lives in the northwest. He lives in the southeast. Mother Indrani, nice to hear from you. You know, a little nice news, you know. You know, Mother Kunini, she seems to be feeling so much better. You know, let's pray. She went through this heavy, and she's really, it's nice. She seems very enthusiastic, and so we'll continue with our prayers for her.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I still plan to write you, especially I have something on my mind after the 2 weeks left. I'm going to try and write you.
Okay, please do, Mother Indrani. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Chris in Pennsylvania.
You know, Chris, I've been thinking of writing you, because I haven't heard from you in a while, and so I'm now arranging to come out there again. So let's contact each other soon. Nice to hear from you. I was making a mailing list that someone's going to do for my programs, mostly in the New York area. I said, well, who knows? Maybe he'll come to New York sometime, so I'll put you on that mailing list. Okay. Okay. Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Legra in Crimson.
Oh, great. Okay. Great, thank you. Good.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Maybe I may come into this Tuesday. Radhanath Swami is going to speak at the Bhakti Center. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to make that. Okay. Okay, hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, wonderful.
Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, thank you all. Bunch of culprits, Rudyas, Jack, and Pursuit of the Age.